Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We appreciate it. Please follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Just type in Union Edge. In studio today, we've got Butch Santacola, the education watchdog, the pit bull of education. Butch, welcome back.
Thank you, Charles. Great to be here. What an exciting time of year we have. Anybody been listening to the show knows the election's right around the corner.
Right, exactly.
And if you listen to what's going on in Michigan and Wisconsin, these are very critical elections. And what's going on in Pennsylvania is no less critical. And today we have a guest, Joe Sherman from Hempfield School District in Westmoreland County. But Joe's more than a teacher in Westmoreland. Extremely important that he teaches. I'll let him talk about it. Joe, how are you?
I'm doing okay, Butch. How are you?
Good. Welcome to the Union Edge Education Watchdog portion.
I appreciate being here. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself. You teach in Hempfield.
I am a high school math teacher at Hempfield High School in Westmoreland County. I serve as the local president of that the union in Hempfield, but also I serve on a statewide level. I am the chairman of PSEA's Political Action Committee for Education.
And that's one of the reasons why you're here today, besides being an advocate for years for public education teachers. Your position as the PACE chair in Pennsylvania is a very critical position, and also a position that picks up a lot of flack from the opponents of public education.
Do you think?
Yeah, well, yeah, we do, don't you?
You know, it always makes me laugh, Butch. Every now and then I'll hear someone talking about all the power unions have and all the money we can give to candidates. And I'm the chairman of a very large PAC here in Pennsylvania. But even as well as we do, raising money and helping elect people, our pockets are not nearly as deep as the billionaires who, you know, when the Koch brothers write one check, they give out more money than our 180,000 union members and PSEA raise in a year. So, while we are a strong voice and we represent a large group, we still are not, certainly not as wealthy as those people who act on their own who can spread more money and influence than we can.
Right. And Joe, this is Charles. That's not the only thing that you have to deal with. I mean, Sheldon Adelson out of Las Vegas, the casino magnate, pumped out over $400 million by himself. By himself. I mean, quite honestly, for him, that was pretty much chump change. The Koch brothers did pretty much similar with these dark money PACs, you know, where you don't know where the money's coming from. Mm-hmm. And in addition to it, the last presidential cycle, all unions combined in the United States put out just slightly over $100 million.
Yeah, and when you hear the other side talk about it, when they talk about the monies unions can raise and spend, they just report all of the dues union members pay. They'll come up with this astronomical figure, how much money the unions raised, but the vast majority of that was just the union dues we pay, which hire our attorneys and help us hire advocates to bargain our contracts and do all those other things.
Right. And in addition to that, what they don't say, and they're being disingenuous when they talk about this, they don't tell anybody union dues cannot be used for political action.
There you go. So they lump us in and say the unions raised some astronomical, you know, $1 billion or something insane, and that's all the union dues that operates our union. But as you said, that is never ever used to give to candidates to elect office.
Right, because that is illegal.
Have tax. That's right. And certainly, believe me, I can tell you from my first days as a treasurer of our local union, you are very careful with your dollars where they go, because as you just said, it's illegal to give union dues to a candidate. It doesn't happen. It never happens. If it does, people go to jail.
There you have it.
But the lies continue.
Absolutely. Yep. Joe, you know, going along with what Charles is saying here, is that we're union leaders like yourself are labeled as thugs, are labeled as un-American, communists. I just heard somebody say the other day, who's running for office for governor, he said they're liars. They're liars. And there are people, unfortunately, that pick up on those comments by others. And they go with it, and it's somewhat aggravating. And I know people like yourself, I've known for years, I've worked with you for years, are legitimate, and you're as honest, and you follow the rules, and you do what has to be done. It's got to be aggravating.
Yeah, and you know, in Hempfield, we have 430 union members in the Hempfield Area School District. And our school has a very good reputation, as do most schools in Westmoreland and Allegheny County. We're fortunate we live in an area with great public education. People like the teachers at Hempfield.
I witnessed that, Joe, at the last strike that you had. I happened to be working with the Hempfield Education Association, you as president, and I witnessed that. There was so much parental support and good feelings towards the teachers, but not only the teachers, the association.
Sure, and when, you know, there is no difference between the teacher and the union member. We're all union members. I'm a math teacher. I teach calculus at Hempfield High School, and then I also happen to be the chair or the president of our local teachers union. I don't understand when I hear a politician say, I love teachers, but I don't like the unions. There's no difference.
Right. And Joe, do you know what the big difference between the Hempfield Teachers Association, the Hempfield Teachers, and the Koch brothers is?
We don't have $100 billion.
Well, not only that, but you guys pay taxes. You're paying for the cops, the firemen, the paramedics, the teachers, so on and so forth. And you know what? Koch brothers come walking in and they start throwing money up and down the aisles in the House and the Senate here in Pennsylvania, and they expect to get something for it. You're paying taxes. You live here. You're supporting the community. Koch brothers come waltzing in. They drop a couple $1 million and they think they now own the state. Just and saying.
That's absolutely true. We see that in Pennsylvania. The money that has poured in from out of state for these people who have... They have an agenda to destroy unions, to destroy anyone who can guarantee that workers are fairly represented, because that's not what the Koch brothers want.
What I get a kick out of, Joe, is the use of the Commonwealth Foundation as a legitimate source for surveys, for polls, for everything else. They're funded by anonymous people. You cannot find out who funds them.
Right.
You and I know who funds them. Charles, you know who funds them. But
right. Well, we don't know everybody who funds them.
That's correct. And
that's the thing. And let's close that loop. The other people that do know who is funding these dark money PACs is the IRS. Why do you think our Republican friends are going after the IRS as hard as they're going after it?
Good question.
Because they know when that money's coming in from China.
Okay.
Yep. And Butch, you just mentioned the Commonwealth Foundation. In addition to being the chairman of PSEA's Political Action Committee, I'm a Republican. I've been a Republican my whole life. So I receive all of the Commonwealth Foundation mail at home because I'm a Republican who's never missed an election and a vote. And you read these things they send people, these mail pieces that say, do you realize your tax dollars are being used right now to raise union money? And they make it sounds horrible. And so then when I walk next door and talk to my neighbor, and he has the same flyer that he received in the mail, and he'll ask me about it because he knows who I am. He knows I'm the president of the teachers union. And he said, please explain this to me. And I said, what that means is every month when they take out my Social Security tax and my state income tax and my donation to the United Way and all the other things they deduct from my paycheck, they also deduct my union dues. And my neighbor looked at me blankly, and he said, no, that's not what this says. I said, yeah, that's it. And again, he stopped, and he said, that's what the big deal is, that they're taking your $10 a month union dues out of your pay and giving it to the union? I said, that's it. And my neighbor said, well, that doesn't cost anything. And I said, you're exactly right. It doesn't cost anyone a penny.
Okay, Joe, one thing I want to explore with you is the endorsement process, because it says so often, or you hear so often, if you read the rhetoric that's out there, that the picking of a candidate, an endorsement of a candidate, is subject to only to several people, like the officers, like yourself in position of leadership, that you'll make that decision alone. And I know that's not happening, and I think you should explain for everybody how that takes place.
Sure, and I've often, before I became active in the union, when I would hear other people, usually people who've never been in a union, talk about it, they'd talk about a union endorsement as if there's a few guys in back room smoking cigars who are handpicking who should be recommended for some political office. The reality of it is with PSEA, we have our state political action board. I serve on that board representing the teachers from Westmoreland, Fayette, Greene, and Washington counties. Now, I've been elected by those people to serve as their representative. As I said before, I'm just a math teacher. I go to work every day. I'm not on work release. I'm not released to for union activities. I work and teach every day. And the other people who serve on the PAC board with me in Harrisburg were all just rank-and-file teachers from across the state. We also have some ESP representatives. That's our support professionals like the bus drivers and custodians and cafeteria workers. They have representation on our board. Our retired colleagues from the union have representation. And our three PSEA state officers do serve on the board. But the people who gather in Harrisburg on my board, we are teachers. I report back to teacher groups regularly. In fact, tomorrow we have a meeting at Seven Springs, and I'll be reporting to all the school districts and the four counties I mentioned before. But it, when you talk about grassroots, no one tells me what my position should be or who we should be supporting. I talk to my other union members in the faculty room, and we are, you know, I'm a Republican. On that board, we have Democrats, we have Republicans, but it is local teachers making these decisions.
Oh, Joe, now wait a second. Time out. I've heard that those union bosses, they come to your house and they tell you who you're going to vote for. And if you don't vote for that person, because they know, they're looking over your shoulder when you're voting.
that's the world some of us think actually occurs, isn't it? So when we make a decision, anyone who wants to seek our endorsement, we give them all the same paperwork, the questionnaires, and we evaluate them on their support for public education and their stance on union positions, positions for working families. That's what we look at. We never consider gun control or abortion or other issues that many, many people find important. We just say to our union, we're looking at public education and we're looking at union rights of union workers. That's how we evaluate candidates. We have a lively discussion. You know, Tom Corbett, who clearly is not our endorsed candidate this time around for governor, we actually did recommend him when he ran for attorney general twice. He came before our board. He interviewed against the Democrat, and our board twice recommended him to serve as attorney general. And in many ways, working in the schools, we thought he did a good job. It wasn't until he became governor that he's just been a disaster for public schools,
for the state,
children, and working families.
Joe, hold on to that thought, because when we come back, I'm going to toss some more in on that one. In the meantime, I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. United Teachers Los Angeles has added faculty at another charter school to the union ranks. 59 teachers and other faculty at Port Los Angeles High School in San Pedro organized a union at the charter school. 86% of them signed an open letter to the charter school board, and a petition was filed Tuesday with the California State Public Employment Relations Board seeking recognition of United Teachers Los Angeles at that school. UTLA represents more than 900 educators at charter schools in the Los Angeles area. A new report from the Center for Popular Democracy says Mayor Rahm Emanuel's minimum wage ordinance for Chicago largely leaves out women and people of color. No half measures. Why it will take $15 to raise Chicago says that domestic workers are left out completely, and tipped workers won't get the $13 an hour backed by the mayor either. The Raise Chicago $15 an hour minimum wage proposal does include domestic workers and gives tipped workers 70% of that minimum wage. The report says the $13 an hour minimum wage increase would leave out at least 13,000 low-wage African-American workers in Chicago and 20,000 low-wage Latinos. Skilled workers at Lawrence Livermore National Lab are considering strike action in the wake of management refusing to bargain in good faith on a new labor contract. After more than a year of attempted negotiations, the members of UPTE-CWA say that there are several unresolved issues, including four unfair labor practice charges filed against lab management. The lab workers have safety concerns as well, because they say trained employees are in some cases being replaced by outside contractors unfamiliar with safety and security at the lab. The workers say maintenance procedures are grossly inadequate, and they say some members have lost as much as $10 per hour for years of work due to management's highly questionable accounting practices. The union is demanding that Lawrence Livermore National Lab stop violating labor law and bargain in good faith. If that doesn't happen,
the union says, a strike could happen. A group of 100 ministers from throughout the state of Mississippi is calling on Nissan to allow a fair union vote for workers at the Canton, Mississippi plant. More than 6,000 people work there. The clergy group held a prayer vigil at the plant on Tuesday. The clergy members say that Nissan is using anti-union intimidation tactics against workers who want to join the United Auto Workers Union. And they say Nissan is also suggesting that if the workers unionize, the plant will move elsewhere.
Workers Independent News is brought to you by the American Federation of Teachers and its 1.6 million members working to reclaim the promise of public education, health care, and public services for our students, their families, and our communities. More information online at aft.org.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
While cutting molding with a 12-inch dual compound miter saw, while holding a newborn baby in your arms, when face-to-face with a congregation of alligators, with the ball in your hands and the entire freaking season on the line.
There are a million places you'd never consider texting,
as you're getting chewed out by
so
your
why would you do it while driving? NASCAR driver Casey Kane here, asking you to please stop the text, and together we can stop the wrecks.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Get the message at stoptextstopwrecks.org.
It's about the work. Work we're proud of. Work that provides the energy that powers America. Work that means our communities are stronger, better, for our families, our neighbors, for everyone. Just like you, members of the United Mine Workers of America are on the job, every day, working hard. It's what we do, and it makes America a better place. The United Mine Workers of America, working families just like yours.
Every day I wake up at 5 to give Dad his medicine. Every day I wake up at 5 to give Dad his medicine. At 6, I make his breakfast. Every day I wake up at 5 to give Dad his medicine. At 6, I make his breakfast. At 7, I shower. Every day I wake up
at 5. For those caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community to help us better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 66, works with builders and contractors to build a better community. Local 66's tradesmen and women have received the specialty training needed to meet the complex challenges of any project, making them the most capable workforce in the region. From schools, highways, and pipeline projects to casinos and arenas, the operating engineers build any job, large or small. For over 100 years, Local 66 has provided superior service that our community can count on. They are your one-stop resource for qualified and productive operating engineers and heavy equipment mechanics. To learn more about the benefits of organized labor and more information about the International Union of Operating Engineers Local 66, go to www.iuoe66.org. That's www.iuoe66.org.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We appreciate it. Please follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Just type in the Union Edge. Anybody who knows this program knows that that's sound for the Education Watchdog, Butch Santacola, the pit bull of education. Butch, welcome back.
Thank you, Charles. And I want to thank Brittany for the bringing the dogs back. Joe, do you like those dogs?
Yeah, you know, I've been sitting here all this time hoping my dog wasn't going to bark as
much. It's okay. So. Dogs are good. It's okay. But Joe, you're talking about you're a Republican. You've endorsed Republicans as a local president for positions. I've got friends in the building trades that are lunch pail Republicans, and some of the vile, nasty things that other Republicans say about them when they're running for office or when they're trying to do things to benefit their members and their community, And my question is, why is it okay that a business looks out for their interests, but a union isn't allowed to look out for their interests and their people? That doesn't make sense to me at all. That does not make sense to me at all. And, quite frankly, it's shameful, that type of behavior. And when it comes to this kind of thing, I'm glad that you as a union brother can sit there, stand there and say, you know what, you're union, but you're also a Republican, because labor has a big tent, all are welcome.
Yeah, and you know what? one of the things I've noticed in the past decade or two is, like I said, I've been a Republican since I was 18, and that's been too many years now. But I've heard Joe Biden say it's not your father's Republican Party anymore, and that saddens me. I used to see a number of Republicans reaching out to labor groups, and unfortunately, I think those Republicans still exist, but they're not elected to office anymore. The Republicans who are running and being elected now have a different view of unions. They have a different view of working people. I don't understand how one political party is now being driven by people who hate workers.
That's unbelievable, Joe. And if you look at the history of what's happened in the United States with the unions, that's exactly where the anti-union movement is coming. It's coming from the Republican Party. I want to go back just very quickly, Joe, because I want to talk about the endorsements that PSEA has made, PSEA PACE has made regarding some of the elections. I want to go back to that endorsement process very quickly, if you give us an idea about how that works.
And we talked about the state process I mentioned before. But to get back to the point, Butch, we were asking before about union bosses or if it's grassroots. When we interview for a local state house seat, and I'll give you an example, the State House 59th, Westmoreland County, it encompasses Mount Pleasant School District, the Hempfield Area School District, the Latrobe School District, the Connellsville Area School District, and we get teachers, our union members, from those districts together, and they interview both candidates, and then they vote. It is not done behind closed doors. No one is twisting arms. It's our members listening to the opinions and the views of these candidates, and then we vote. And then as the representative of that group, then I carry that recommendation forward to Harrisburg, to our board in Harrisburg, to say this is where we stand on perhaps the 59th state house race or the 58th state house race. But again, it's just teachers. And then the other group, our lobbyists in Harrisburg, who also work with these representatives there on Capitol Hill in Harrisburg, if they agree and we agree, then our board, that's how we pick our recommendations. But it's done locally. It's done grassroots. No one tells us. No one has ever told me who I had to support. My vote is to listen to those who come before us and cast my vote on who I think is going to be best.
And it's not just state elections. You're also involved in some of the congressional races.
We are. We get involved in congressional races statewide. Well, this election season, we're looking at the state house in Harrisburg, half of the state senate, the congressional races. I think you've told me Butch Erin McClellan's been on your show before. She's been endorsed by our national affiliate, the NEA. And what I love about Erin is the fact that whenever she stands up and talks, I saw her in Westmoreland County a few weeks ago, and she laughed and said, you know, someone called me a darling of the labor movement. And I said, that's BS. I'm not the darling of the labor movement. I'm the daughter of the labor movement, the granddaughter, the great-granddaughter, the sister. I'm the everything of the labor movement. And it's great to see candidates standing up and saying that, because why the hell wouldn't you want to be a candidate who supports workers?
You know, Joe, and again, brother, I've got other friends that are Republicans that are active in the unions. And, you know, I come out of a Republican union law enforcement. And this is a refreshing thing, because I got to tell you, you know, I hear it all the time. Oh, those teachers, we shouldn't allow them to use their paycheck to pay union dues. I mean, what's next? Are you going to tell us what church we can go to, what synagogue we can go to? Are you going to tell us who we can marry? I mean, where does it stop? You know, and that's it.
And when they talk about that paycheck protection issue you just mentioned, that they don't want us to pay our union dues out of our paycheck, they make it sound like an economic issue, that taxpayers are paying the money for the system that withdraws our union dues, when in reality that system's in place and it costs them nothing.
Right.
This is not about saving money for any taxpayer. This is about harming unions and destroying unions' abilities to operate. That's what the agenda is. We want to crush unions, so if we make it more challenging for them to collect their union dues, they will be weakened, and now we can come after them.
Well, Joe, we're coming to the end. I want to thank you deeply for coming on the show. I know from your busy schedule, I want to tell you, you've been a great representative for teachers and support staff in not only Southwest region, but the state. I want to thank you very much for being here.
Joe, one quick question for you.
Yes, sir.
Election's coming up. What do you want to tell all the members and everybody listening?
If you're worried about public schools, if you're worried about the education children in this state receive, then you need to go out on Tuesday and elect Tom Wolf. And this is not, it's an issue to me, obviously, because I'm a math teacher, and this is what I do for a living.
So all the numbers add up, and we appreciate that very much, and we'll talk to you again soon. In the meantime, I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio.